WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. War has returned to Gaza. Palestinian officials say Israeli airstrikes have killed at least 254 people. Prime Minister Netanyahu blames Hamas as talks to extend the ceasefire stalled. BBC News Gaza correspondent Rushdi Abu Alof checks conditions there.
Israeli warplanes were flying over Gaza and very quickly started to hit targets within Gaza City. We are talking to some locals in different area. They are talking about at least two mosques were hit, a school, housing, displaced people.
President Trump warns Iran it will, quote, suffer the consequences for additional attacks by Yemen's Houthi rebels. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
Pentagon officials say Iran has been put on notice. They haven't ruled out military action against Iran. So I don't think it's a coincidence that ratcheting up the attacks on the Houthis comes at the very same time that the United States is ratcheting up pressure on the Iranian regime.
President Trump's use of the Aliens Enemies Act for deportations has a federal judge telling the administration and those trying to stop those deportations to provide more information. CBS's Jake Rosen says the judge wants it today, as the court has ordered those deportations paused.
In a contentious hearing on Monday, the Department of Justice did not provide additional on-the-record information about additional flights potentially holding Venezuelan gang members, subject under President Trump's Saturday order of the Alien Enemies Act that would move potential Venezuelan gang members out of the United States.
CBS's Matt Piper has new information on the death of Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman's wife, Betsy, called a medical concierge service in New Mexico a day after authorities previously reported her last known activity. She was last seen shopping on February 11th. Cell phone records show she made three calls the next morning to that medical service. They called back in the afternoon, but she never answered.
The first four games of this year's NCAA tournament get underway tonight, and then
the last two play-in games highlight the action Wednesday night with Mount St. Mary's battling American for a chance to face top-seeded Duke in the opening round on Friday night. Then the final play-in game has Xavier going up against Texas. The winner of that one advances to round one to play six-seeded Illinois in Milwaukee on Friday.
Sports reporter Erica Herskowitz. Thousands of spectators crammed into Hot Springs, Arkansas yesterday to see its famous St. Patrick's Day parade. What makes it special is it features 40 floats with a parade route of just 98 feet. Still enough room for marching Elvis impersonators and the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Bucks get rolled by the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fell behind early and lost to one of the top teams in the NBA, the Thunder. The final score, 121-105. How did the Thunder control the game? Doc Rivers.
They were so much more physical. They definitely came in with intentions tonight and played that way. They played great tonight.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers drew the number 3 seed. They open the NCAA tournament this Thursday in Denver at the Ball Arena, home of the Denver Nuggets. They'll play the number 14 seed, Montana Grizzlies. Marquette is going to the dance again, headed to Cleveland to face New Mexico Friday night.
Excited to be here, happy to be here, and just, you know, excited to see our name called, because it's not particularly like common for a score, a player, a group of guys to go to the tournament for 4 years. We actually like did the percentage research, and it's like the chance of going to the tournament 4 straight years is like 0.1%.
That's Marquette guard Stevie Mitchell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite some well-reviewed films, it was a pretty lackluster weekend at the box office. The weekend proved to be the lowest grossing theater totals of the year so far, with prognosticators surprised that a spring break weekend at the box office came in even lower than Super Bowl weekend by about $1 million. Novocaine led the way with a little more than $8 million at the gate. The film stars Jack Quaid as a man who does not feel pain while trying to rescue his kidnapped girlfriend. Last week's champ, Mickey 17, finished in second place with $7.5 million and $33 million for the two-week total. Steven Soderbergh's new spy thriller, Black Bag, finished with $7.5 million, but on about 1,100 less screens than Mickey 17. Rounding out the top five are Captain America, Brave New World, which pulled in over $5 million, and The Day the Earth Blew Up, the first Looney Tunes movie ever made for a theatrical release, with a disappointing just over $3 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 30. Breezy on your Tuesday with mostly cloudy skies, a high of 52. Rain and breezy for Tuesday night, lows in the mid-30s. Rain and snow for Wednesday. Snow could be heavy on Wednesday with a high around 39.
Currently 42 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Run away, run away. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same whether you call or text. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11:30 news, we will lighten it up as we always do. It's St. Patrick's Day. We want to talk about your favorite Irish movies. And then we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Let Me Transfer You edition. Right now, though, we thought this segment was cursed because our last couple of guests have had timing snafus at the last minute. But today, he's here, and we're ready to go. Calvin, play the sounder, please.
Beyond the cheese.
It's our effort to highlight businesses in Wisconsin outside of the dairy industry. We are delighted to be joined by Joe Henry, the owner of J. Henry and Sons in Dane, Wisconsin. Good morning, Joe. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. One of our friends and colleagues here at Civic Media, Luke Mathers, and his wife recently toured your facility, and after they came back, he's like, you got to talk to these guys. It's fantastic. So tell us, first of all, what you do at J. Henry and Sons.
So we are primarily a hybrid seed farm. So we raise hybrid seed corn just north of Madison. We've been doing that since 1946 when my grandfather bought the property. And about 15 years ago, we started making bourbon and other whiskeys using grains that have historically been from UW-Madison's Ag Research Department and raised on our farm by my grandfather and father.
What was the impetus to even do that? Were you sitting around drinking bourbon one day and thought, hey, you guys, we could make this ourselves. Let's try it.
I'm pretty sure that's what my dad did. had a little bit of a midlife crisis, and my mom wouldn't let him buy a sports car. So he started to make a whiskey company out of it.
I mean, where's the money in sports cars?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a joke in the industry that a good way to take a large fortune and turn it into a small one is to open a distillery.
Seriously.
So luckily, things have been working out for us really well. And then, Jane, when you reached out, this is kind of another layer to the connection, I think. But my mom actually grew up in Racine. She went to St. Cat's. And then for much of her career, she worked in the dairy industry. So she worked for ABS. She was actually Alice in Dairyland.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Sometime back in the 80s, I believe. So yeah, our family is very, very connected to the ag industry and specifically the dairy industry in Wisconsin. So when you reached out, I was like, this is a no-brainer. This sounds awesome.
Oh, that is so cool. I hope she still wears her Alice crown. I think she should.
I think she's still got it.
I think we have
a picture of her in the tasting room with her wearing
that. At least once a year, she should be able to wear her crown and have it be her day. I just think that's only fair.
I mean, I would be like, I'm like, raise your hand if you were Alice in Dairyland. Oh, just me? That's fine. We're having pizza.
So what is the distillery process specifically to bourbon? What sets bourbon apart from whiskey, say?
So all bourbon is whiskey. Not all whiskey is bourbon.
Okay.
It's an easy way to think about it. So bourbon is defined by the federal law as needing to be 51 or more percent corn in the specific mash bill or variety of grains that you use. It needs to be aged in a new charred oak container. So that's why we use barrels. Once we're done with them, we usually sell them to local breweries. And they do barrel-aged beers and stuff like that in there. And then it needs to be made in the United States of America. So any state does not have to be from Kentucky. Those are kind of the three laws federally that separate bourbon from other whiskeys. And that's why it's been known as America's spirit, is because you can only make it in the United States.
Interesting, but not just Kentucky. So take that, Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly. We're not trying to start, just as get up here.
We're not trying to start any fights again, Jane. Okay.
I'm just saying, take that, Kentucky. You're not the only ones. So there. So you start with the corn that you grow at your farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the process to make your magical bourbon?
So we use a very special type of red heirloom corn that was developed in 1939 by UW-Madison's Ag Research Department. We actually pulled that specific corn out of hibernation in the basement of the ag like library because it went commercially extinct in the late 70s, early 80s when GMO crops started to become really popular.
Oh, wow.
So we are the only people in the world growing that specific red heirloom corn, and we only raise it to make J. Henry bourbon. We also grow all of our own heirloom winter wheat and heirloom spooner rye, both from the UW grain program. So we grow all the grains used to produce J. Henry bourbon right here on the farm, which is only about 20-30 minutes north of Madison. So if you ever want to come on and do a tour like your coworker, we're open Thursday through Sunday every week.
Road trip.
So,
yep.
Road trip.
So once we get those grains harvested, we store them in the wintertime, and then we want to mill them into kind of like a fine powder, similar to like flour. It's a little bit more coarse than that, but we need that surface area because what we're going to do next is start the process of fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take that powder, we're going to take that flour, those milled grains, add water, yeast, and heat to kind of warm it up and give a pleasant environment for the yeast to essentially eat the sugars in the other grains and fart out alcohol. So exactly. So
I used to work at a brewery, and that's what I would say. I'd say it would pee out alcohol and fart out CO2.
Yep, exactly. So we're just we're essentially drinking yeast pee. Whenever you
That's exactly
beer.
What I would say too.
Well, when you get right down to the nitty morning. And gritty, when you get down to the nitty and gritty, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. So after that process with the fermentation, we're essentially left with a beer. So it's called distiller's beer. It's not something you would normally like grab an ice cold can of and start drinking. It's usually about 12 to 18% alcohol by volume. And then what we're going to do is put it through a still. And it's obviously a lot more complicated than this, but the process of distillation is really putting it through a still to increase the potency of something left by decreasing the volume of what you're trying to distill out. So in the case of making bourbon, we are distilling out water to increase the potency of that alcohol left in your solution.
Okay.
So we run it through a still. It gets up to about 60 to 70% alcohol after a couple different passes. And then we put it into those new charred oak casks. And that's really where the magic starts, in my opinion. So 60 to 70% of the final flavor of any aged spirit is going to come from the interaction of that spirit and the wood. Once it comes off of the still, it's colorless. It has some flavor, but not the traditional sense of flavor that you would associate with whiskeys. Really, like, all that magic happens from the interaction that it has over the course of, for us, about 4 to 6 years, just by sitting in that new charred oak barrel.
So the barrel makers essentially have you over a barrel, because without the barrels, I just, what?
What? I like that joke. You're 100% right.
And is there only one supplier for those barrels, or do you have a choice of places to go?
There's many suppliers here in the United States. There's also several abroad that we buy from, but our primary supplier is called the Independent Stave Company, and they do a fantastic job for us. They're based out of, they have cooperages in Missouri and Kentucky.
I have a ton of questions because, like, we just, Bridget and I, my wife and I, just went to Memphis and went to Old Dominic's distillery and went through tour. So the things you're talking about, and I used to be a tour guide for a brewery, so a lot of this makes sense. So, like, there's all these technical questions I want to ask. I'm like, don't ask boring questions. Don't make people turn off this interview. And people need to know about Joe Henry. But, the one thing I wanted to ask you really quick, and I want to go back to the corn. And you, of course, I'm sure, blessed with a wonderful palate of your father and your grandfather. If I'm going to put down your bourbon versus another bourbon that doesn't use that corn, what does that special corn that you have resurrected do for the flavor or for just the entire presentation of the bourbon?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. One being that the kind of nutritional value is a little bit different than kind of your mass produced commodity grain. Mm. So, like, number two yellow dent, which is what the majority of the industry is raising to produce ethanol, to produce food, is extremely high in starch. And what that is the benefit for brewers and distillers is, if you have a higher starch content, you essentially have a more efficient chemical reaction when your yeast is eating those starches and sugars and creating alcohol. So you can create pure alcohol, higher volume of alcohol, with much less energy. But that's all you're really doing is creating higher percentages of alcohol. Our corn, on the other hand, is a little less efficient in that aspect, but it's a lot higher in protein, in fat content, in oil content. So while we don't get as efficient of a chemical reaction and as much total volume, we're sacrificing that for flavor, texture, and really just a higher quality product.
And obviously, with health benefits, I should be drinking bourbon because it's good for me.
I heard protein.
Protein, exactly. Yeah. That's all
protein.
I heard. We're going to continue our conversation with Joe Henry, owner of J. Henry & Sons. We're going beyond the cheese. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look, Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Beyond the Cheese.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Excited to have our guest with us. He's the owner of J. Henry & Sons, which is right outside of Madison. They make bourbon, baby. Joe Henry is here. And Joe, we do have a couple of questions that came in on the text line. Someone listening in Madison wants to know if you can reuse the barrels, or do you have to use a new barrel for every batch of bourbon?
So that is a very good question. Part of the law behind that was actually based off of around like post-prohibition laws. So after prohibition, or during prohibition, I guess, most of the cooperages were making barrels for the brewing and distillation industry. So you cut those out for about 10 years.
Yep.
Nobody's making any right. alcohol in the United States during that time. So that industry really starts to crumble and sort of fail. A lot of cooperages closed. So then when prohibition ended, the federal government, in a way to kind of help reinvigorate that industry, required bourbon producers specifically to use those barrels only once.
Wow.
So every time we make a barrel of bourbon, we have to, once it's aged fully and we dump that whiskey out of the barrel to get bottled, we can no longer use that barrel again and then call the product that comes out of it bourbon. It would just be like American whiskey. So it's cool and not so cool because it's very wasteful. But it does provide a very unique flavor for bourbon, compared to other global, whiskeys of the world, I would say. The main use for our barrels is we will sell them to local breweries throughout Wisconsin. And they'll do barrel aged beers. So some of the bigger ones are like the Eagle Park guys in Milwaukee, Central Waters up in up north in Antioch, I believe, and a couple here around Madison. We've done some stuff with Goose Island down in Chicago. We also do some like fun little projects. So this past weekend, maple trees up in northern Wisconsin are starting to get really active.
Yep.
So we will actually give some of our barrels to maple syrup producers up in the North Woods, they'll put maple syrup in our used whiskey barrels. It'll pull out some of the flavor of that bourbon into your maple syrup. Yeah, it's fantastic.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, we sell some of it at the tasting room. And then also another way that we continue to extend the life cycle of that barrel is once the maple syrup producer is done with that cask and emptied it out, we'll actually put bourbon back into those maple syrup casks and have like a maple syrup finished bourbon. So we, it's dangerous stuff.
It sounds like it.
We just had that release about a week or so ago. And we only have a few cases left if people are trying to make the trip to swing up here and try some of that stuff that we only sell here on the farm.
If you're just joining us, Joe Henry is our guest. He's the owner of J. Henry and Sons, located in Dane, Wisconsin. They make bourbon, baby.
They do. I was just going to say that I was talking about the tour that I did, and one of the cool things was I touched the mash. You can. It's like a pillowy, fibrous
foam.
And she's like, and our tour guide said, you can touch it, eat it, do whatever you want. And it didn't taste good. It felt weird, but it was an amazing experience because you're just part of the distilling process and you're seeing it happen right in front of you.
I guess what amazes me though, Joe, when you talk about this entire process of how to make bourbon, it's like back in the day, the inventors had to be just the amount of patience. It's like, what do you want to do with this? I don't know. Let's boil it. And then after we boil it, let's do this. Let's see what happens when we do this, because that's kind of the process of how these things come about historically, isn't it? I mean, in some instances, I firmly believe like cheese was a mistake. Someone was moving yak's milk somewhere in the heat and it turned into something else. And they're like, yeah, we'll call it cheese. I don't know.
I dare you to eat it.
Yeah, that's totally. I mean, you look back on history and the history of fermentation, and I think it was like Mesopotamia or Egypt or something. Mm-hmm. One of these ancient civilizations, they just accidentally left like uncovered grain in a clay pot, and it got water on it, and then in the heat started warming up, and then wild yeast just started eating it. And then when they went to drink it, they started feeling really good. And they're like, wow, how do we do this again?
Do this again.
And you know who discovered that? Women. Happy Women's History Month there. Boom.
Oh, perfect. Wouldn't be here without you, ladies. Thank you.
Yeah.
We got about 2 minutes left, Joe. How often do you have tours? Do you have tours all year long, or is it only in the summertime, or how does that work?
So we do have tours all year round, Thursday through Sunday, noon to 7. We close a little bit early on Sundays at 5 p.m. And then we have a lot of events going on. Like the next big one is the Kentucky Derby party that we'll have out on the farm on May 3rd. So all of those events should be on our website at jhenryandsons.com on the event page. A lot of fun dinners, fun whiskey pairings, cool product releases, stuff that you might not be able to try most other places. We do live music and it's always a good time.
We will include a link to your website in our show notes after the show is over. And Joe, as our guest on Beyond the Cheese, we would like to give you this Beyond the Cheese hat. And awesome. Any listener will take a listener right now at 855-752-4842. First one who gets through, you also get one of these fabulous Beyond the Cheese hats. Joe Henry, owner of J. Henry & Sons. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
News coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, global on the app, baby, Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief. Deadly airstrikes by Israel in Gaza. The Israeli military has ordered people to evacuate eastern Gaza and move toward the center, indicating more attacks may be coming. Prime Minister Netanyahu says it's because Hamas has stalled the release of hostages. In Tel Aviv, CBS News correspondent Remy Innocenzio.
Our CBS News team on the ground in Gaza tells us there are reports of dozens of airstrikes up and down the strip, that dozens of people have been killed, and that many others are under the rubble with houses, schools, shelters, and tents being struck.
Palestinian officials claim at least 254 deaths. President Trump will talk today with Russia's President Putin about a possible ceasefire with Ukraine.
And I think Ukraine wants it. I know they want it. Everybody wants it. It's tremendous death. The bloodshed is unbelievable, like few people have ever seen before.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks get rolled by the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fell behind early and lost to one of the top teams in the NBA, the Thunder. The final score, 121-105. How did the Thunder control the game? Doc Rivers.
They were so much more physical. They definitely came in with intentions tonight and played that way. They played great tonight.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers drew the number 3 seed. They open the NCAA tournament this Thursday in Denver at the Ball Arena, home of the Denver Nuggets. They'll play the number 14 seed, Montana Grizzlies. Marquette is going to the dance again, headed to Cleveland to face New Mexico Friday night.
Excited to be here, happy to be here, and just, you know, excited to see our name called, because it's not particularly like common for a score, a player, a group of guys to go to the tournament for 4 years. We've actually like did the percentage research, and it's like the chance of going to the tournament 4 straight years is like 0.1%.
That's Marquette guard Stevie Mitchell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his 3 children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died, and as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his 3 now middle-aged children out in the cold, or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlife with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 30. Breezy on your Tuesday with mostly cloudy skies, a high of 52. Rain and breezy for Tuesday night, lows in the mid-30s. Rain and snow for Wednesday. Snow could be heavy on Wednesday with a high around 39.
It's 39 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who was hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Up North News creator and editor Christina Laurie. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss the NCAA tournament. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, old Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Congratulations to Whistler from Richland Center. He called in and picked up that wonderful Beyond the Cheese hat, ooh, courtesy of Stephen Aronson, who was our very first guest on Beyond the Cheese.
Yeah, yep.
From Wisconsin Knitwear.
This year. Yeah, and we finally made it happen. We did it.
It only took 4 months.
We did it.
No, we're delighted to have Joe Henry on. If you want to check that out, or if you would like to go to J. Henry and Sons, or find out what they got going on, Greg will have that in the show notes once the show is over. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll wrap it all up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Let Me Transfer You edition. But right now, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, you say.
Ah, sure.
Oh, just talking about
And stuff. Off the air, we were all talking about, none of us are Irish.
I'm a Scotia.
Are you a Scotia?
But not enough to be like, hey man, that's my culture.
Not, yeah.
No.
I am half German and French on my father's side and Lithuanian on my mother's side. So there is just there's no Irish in there. And as I told Pat Kreitlow this morning, I am waiting for the holiday where it says I'm celebrating half Lithuanian day, where we dress as peasants and drink vodka with no ice, because who could afford ice?
And air our grievances.
And the airing of grievances. But we wanted to talk about your favorite Irish or Irish-themed films.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Your favorite Irish or Irish-themed movie, which is it as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day? And I do have a couple of them. One of them is called Waking Ned Divine.
Yes.
It is one of the funniest movies I have ever seen. And it's a real quiet, you know what I mean? It's a quiet, soft,
yes,
movie.
It's not
big and showy and all of those things. It takes place in a very small village in Ireland. And it all hinges around someone in this small town has won a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
That's what the whole thing is about. It is funny and sweet, and it will get you in the heart. And it's absolutely worth watching. And if I remember correctly, it's been a while since I saw it. It's family friendly too. I don't think that I know there's no sex in it, but I don't think there's any swearing.
Well, I mean, one of those types of movies are the movies you're going to show, like, watch with your kid and be like,
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Like, this isn't going to be the thing that sends them down the road of, like, of terrible attitudes and bad behavior.
Down a bad pathway.
Yeah, I'm going to do an Irish accent some of the days. So strap in. It might get a little offensive to my Irish files.
I did an ancestry DNA test, and I am over 50% German with 6% Irish. So I will go choose Leprechaun today. Go for it.
There you go.
Absolutely, PJ.
There you go.
Embrace your inner Irish. Do you have a film, a favorite film?
Yeah.
Irish or related to Ireland that you would like to share with us? Something to watch on this St. Patrick's Day. 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sac texting in The Quiet Man with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. Classic movie.
Oh, Maureen O'Hara was an amazing actor.
Classic movie.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful film.
Steve from Milwaukee listening on WAUK. My wife loved Leap Year. Very Irish.
My wife loves Leap Year as well. Do you know what it's about?
Am I thinking of the actor who was drunk?
I believe it's Amy Adams and Matthew Good, who, by the way, Matthew Good is one of the best actors I've ever seen in my life. And the whole premise is, in Ireland, if I'm not mistaken, on the 29th of February, that's when a woman can ask a man to marry him.
Ah.
That kind of thing. If I'm wrong, but talk to my wife. She can give you a synopsis from opening credits to director's commentary.
855-752-4842. What's a great Irish film to help celebrate St. Patrick's Day today? Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I was on the line waiting. Somebody already took my answer.
Was it Leap Year?
The Quiet Man.
Oh, The Quiet Man.
There you go.
The Quiet Man with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. Mm-hmm. That was a fabulous movie. Also, I think there was an Irish movie that where they kept, they were like measuring this mountain, and they and the Irish people kept carrying dirt up so that they could keep the mountain, get the mountain bigger.
So it would qualify.
I could. Yes. That
was.
I don't remember exactly what it was.
That was with Hugh Grant was in that. The Englishman who walked up a hill and came down a mountain. I think that's what it's called.
Well, that's not what came up when I typed in Measuring Mountain Irish movie.
Oh, no.
That's one of his first movies, I believe, too.
Hugh Grant.
Yes.
Before Love Actually and all that stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Like.
But again, Ollie, I think it's called The Englishman Who Walked Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain. Does that sound familiar?
Cool movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is. Yep.
The Englishman. Appreciate that, Ollie. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for listening.
That's a one. I'm becoming kind of obsessed with Hugh Grant lately.
Oh.
Because he's entering a new era of his acting. Because, like, we all know him from his 90s broad romantic comedies. I'm Hugh Grant.
Mr. Like, the stumbly lover guy. Yeah.
He has, in the past 5 or 6 years, has become the baddie. Like,
he's a villain.
I don't mean like weight size. He's just growing and his getting bigger, and he just doesn't look like he looked 25 years ago, and he plays really good. And it's not just villains. He plays really good slime balls. He's so good at being slimy in movies, and you can't take your eyes off of him.
And that's always the part that's more fun to play.
If you want a perfect example, The Gentleman. It's a Guy Ritchie movie with Matthew McConaughey, Hugh Grant, Charlie Hunnam, Jeremy Strong. It's a British comedy action movie, and Hugh Grant is just the slimiest slime. But back to Irish films.
Yes, back to Irish movies. 855-752-4842. A good Irish film today to watch to help celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I already talked about Waking Ned Divine. If you can find it, it's really sweet. Tony, I think you're supposed to just watch Dropkick Murphy concerts videos all day. You can do that.
There you go.
That works.
Tom from West Dallas said Boondock Saints. That is a revenge movie that takes place in, like, I think Boston. It's very Irish in its presentation. The gentlemen are Irish. And I will say this. It's one of those movies that a lot of dudes have a poster of in their bedroom. Like, okay, next to their Caddyshack poster and their Blues Brothers poster. And it's one of those things where men will say, oh, man, I love Boondock Saints. And I love if you love Boondock Saints. But I watched 20 minutes and I'm like, this is garbage. But the documentary about the guy who made the movie is even better because he just absolutely burned himself out and made himself a complete pariah in Hollywood. But
all
yeah.
Right. Chris from Blue River says, I have to go with Brave. I'm a huge fan of anything Pixar, and this is an underappreciated work. Brave didn't happen in Scotland. We will double check.
I think it's Scotland, actually.
We'll double check. Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK. We're talking about good Irish or Irish-related films to watch for St. Patrick's Day. Liz from Saukville says The Secret of Roan Inish, which is a classic that's been around for a really long time. Douglas from Madison, listening on WMDX. The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill was not an Irish film. It was set in Wales.
And Brave was set in the Scottish Highlands.
I thought it was in Scotland.
But you know what, though? Let's just, hey, what?
It's part of, yeah.
We're not gonna sit here and suffocate your truth. You live your life, be happy however you want to be happy. I don't know where this voice is coming from, but I just, yeah, love these movies.
We like to be accurate. That's fine. The other one I was thinking of was Circle of Friends.
That is a, yeah. Is that Minnie Driver?
Minnie Driver. Before Minnie Driver was a thing.
I love Minnie Driver. I want to hang out with her.
Yeah. She was, it's another really sweet film. Yes. About relationships and friendships and challenges. And again, it's not a big movie. It's not a big, big film. And I'm not even sure how it did at the box office.
I mean,
but it's definitely worth a watch. And to see Minnie Driver early in her career.
Yes.
Yeah. Before she became as polished, and she's fabulous in that movie.
I think that I love Minnie Driver. I love the TV work she's done. There was a show that was on, I think, for one or two seasons called Speechless, where she played the mother of a disabled boy who did not bow to the world. She protected her son, and the family wasn't like, it wasn't an example of like, this is how you be a good family. They had their problems, but she is kick butt in it because she's excellent. Excellent. I love Minnie Driver so much.
What is your Irish or Irish related film you might watch today to help celebrate St. Paddy's Day? Listener on WAUK, Ryan's daughter.
Okay.
And Carrie from Tosa listening on WMDX, The Miracle Club.
Ooh.
That's a relatively recent movie, I think, Carrie. I think that's on HBO Max right now.
The Miracle Club.
Either HBO Max or Netflix.
Okay.
Because I have seen that pass by.
I loved The Banshees of Inisherin. And the thing is, I would like take it out a little further. Martin McDonagh, who wrote and directed it, I love all of his films. And he's an amazing playwright. But like In Bruges is an amazing film. Seven Psychopaths is so fun. And I like, you know, if they were talking about Irish and Irish films and Irish filmmakers, Martin McDonagh's movies are absolutely wonderful.
See, and I watched The Banshees and I thought that was one of the saddest things I'd ever seen.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean you can't like it, though.
I would never watch it again.
Okay.
It made me so sad.
Okay.
And we're not even going to talk about the donkey.
No, let's not talk about the
donkey. Let's not talk about the donkey. Those who know, know. Irish films, Irish-ish films.
Irish-adjacent
films that we're watching for St. Paddy's Day. Darby O'Gill and the Little People listening in Madison. That's been around since I was a munchkin. That's an old, old movie. Back when special effects were really special. You know what I mean? The early days of Hollywood and the stuff that they did to try and look magical. It's pretty great. Nicole from Madison, Bad Sisters on Apple TV, Chef's Kiss.
I've heard about that show. I looked up movies, and there is a movie that came out. There's a movie called The Quiet Girl, too. Interesting. It is an Irish film. It is not Irish in its presentation. It just was made in Ireland and it has Irish actors.
Okay.
It's called Frank. It did not do very well. It stars Michael Fassbender.
Okay.
Gyllenhaal. I can't remember her first name right now. And Donald Gleason. And it's about a guy who's kind of not all there, but he is kind of a weird artistic musical genius who wears a papier-mâché mask on his head.
Okay.
It's just a fun movie. It's called Frank. I loved it.
Check out Frank.
Yeah.
Check out Frank. One more. We got Quentin from Glendale. P.S. I Love You. It's my favorite film.
Oh, yes.
And Jeff from Madison, just to clarify, Darby O'Gill is an old Disney movie. Again, that thing's been around for a long time. And from Green Bay, texting in Kneecap. Never heard of that one.
Okay.
And again, Chris from Blue River says, yes, you are correct. Brave is Scottish.
That's fine.
Watch a movie today.
Exactly.
Have some corned beef and cabbage. Take a free ride. Ride the bus if you're going to be out celebrating.
Yeah.
Please be safe.
Please, please, please be safe. And just Dave on the live stream. You know what? For today, let's do it. Die Hard is an Irish film because John McClane sounds like an Irish name.
Oh, fine.
There you go.
We'll accept that. We'll absolutely accept it, yeah. All right. When we return, we're going to wrap it all up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Let Me Transfer You edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And I think so. We the people should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, hopefully Luke Mathers will have recovered from his celebrations today. We're hoping he's going to join us tomorrow after 10:30. We'll see what happens.
Can we call him Lukey O'Mathers?
We can call him Lukey O'Mathers, absolutely. Yes. If that's what makes you happy. Right now, though, Calvin, it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Today it is the Let Me Transfer You edition. This from UPI.com. Ben Hooper gets a lot of bylines for these.
He's searching for those.
He's looking for him.
Interesting stories.
He's looking for him. Headline reads, Virginia Zoo responds to gorilla escape rumors. We don't have those. The Virginia Zoo, responding to rumors of an escaped gorilla in Norfolk, Virginia, confirmed that not only are all of its animals accounted for, they don't even have gorillas. Social media lit up with reports of a gorilla on the loose last week after a power outage in a particular neighborhood with several Facebook users.
Don't look at me. I didn't start this.
Claiming to have seen the large animal. Don't take stuff from Facebook and assume it's accurate. I'm just saying. This is how it starts.
I feel like I'm being yelled at right now. Like,
well, you're the one I can point at. I can point at Calvin, but it's not the same. Virginia Zoo put the rumors to rest, joking that the sightings were likely the facility's mascot, Zoo Squatch.
Oh, God, are you serious?
I am reading from the article. We heard talk of an escaped gorilla, but we think it may have just been Zoo Squatch. Spotted on his daily run. Don't worry, he made it back to the zoo. Our keepers want you to know all our animals are safe and accounted for, except for gorillas, because we don't have those.
But you know, we do have Zoo Squatch.
Officials write any real escape would have been accompanied by a statement from the zoo. Just keep that in mind when you're on Facebook. And a friendly reminder, while these hoaxes can be silly, you can rest assured that the Virginia Zoo has extensive safety measures and protocols in place to keep our animals and communities safe. If there is ever a real animal escape from our facility, we will issue a formal statement to all local media, including on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
I guarantee you in 6 months, we're going to hear a story about this incident still having traction, because I say this to this day, years later, people still believe there's a lion running around Milwaukee because of a Facebook post.
Always reliable. That's always where you want to go when you're looking for accurate information.
Now, if you don't mind, I got to get out of here. I got to go look for Zoo Squatch.
Again, don't worry about it. The gorilla is fine because we don't have those. That wraps up today's edition of Kelvin.
This shouldn't be a thing.
As I said, hopefully Luke Mathers will be joining us tomorrow after the 10:30 news. We have a very busy rest of the week.
Yeah.
Kind of a short week for me.
Why?
I'm going to be off a couple of days.
Wait, what?
Did I not tell you this?
Folks, this is breaking news.
No, I'm being left alone. No, I'm going to be off Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
All right.
I'm going to see a friend outside of Austin.
And I will have with me on Monday the wonderful Angela Lang, co-hosting the entire show, and a special guest, possibly, most likely, yes, because I'm going to make him do it, on Friday. But more details this week to come.
Oh, intriguing.
Let's just say this. Wait, I'll tell you.
Oh. Really exciting. One last text I wanted to get in. Fred from Cottage Grove listening in Madison on WMDX. This shouldn't be a thing. Green beer.
Well, that I was going to say, Michael Seal from Tosa. When I celebrate today, no green beer will pass my lips. Green beer is an abomination.
Yeah, I've never. Yeah, I used it years ago when I was in music radio and we would broadcast from bars.
Gross.
Starting at 5.
Yuck.
And people would have Lucky Charms and green beer.
Disgusting.
It's a whole new level of, yeah, I can't do that. Coming up after the news will be Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4, Dom Salvia picks it up from 4 to 6 p.m., the wonderful Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8, Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio, gets us going early mornings from 6 to 8, and then Earl Ingram Jr. right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here on the vast, statewide, countrywide, global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Hopefully your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Gaza battered by overnight Israeli airstrikes. The Israeli military is telling people to evacuate eastern Gaza, a possible warning of more to come. CBS's Remy Innocenzio reports from Tel Aviv that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu blames Hamas for stalling the release of more hostages.
In the early hours after midnight, Israel resumed bombing the Gaza Strip in a clear break from the ceasefire that had been, for the most part, holding since it came into effect on January 19th, nearly 2 months ago. The office of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu released a statement saying, from now on, Israel will act against Hamas with increasing military force, and that the IDF presented the operational plan last week and was approved by the government.
Palestinian officials say at least